Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
We took a pretty big risk sending Hooper into Palmer's flat, masquerading as a telephone man, and all for nothing, the way it's turned out. With Palmer laid up in hospital, it looked like a golden opportunity to make a decent search, but no luck. Hooper's here in my office at the moment, and don't ask me why, but I'm not altogether satisfied with his story. I said to Benny Puller when we were cooking the scheme up that there was a fair element of risk. We'd look jolly silly if Hooper was diddling us over that infernal diary. Look here, Hooper. Are you absolutely certain you didn't overlook anywhere he could have conceivably hidden it?
I'm telling you, I turned the place upside down.
Could it have been tucked up in the stuffing of a chair, or glued under a table, or disguised as something else and left lying about? What about the ceiling? Is there a trapdoor in his ceiling anywhere?
There was no trapdoor. And if there had been, I'd have taken a look inside.
Hanged if I know.
If you don't think I made a decent search, shove the boiler suit on and go to his flat yourself. Well, I wouldn't guarantee you'd get past that caretaker the second time.
If you had something valuable you wanted to hide, what would you do? Take a safe deposit box?
Not me. You can get court orders to look inside safe deposits.
Well, what would you do?
I'd wrap it up well and post it to myself, Post Western, under a phony name. Every so often, I'd collect it and post it off somewhere else. And if this customer Palmer's as shrewd as I take him for, you'll find he's done something just like that.
All right. I'll tell Mr. Puller we've been wasting our time. Don't let me keep you.
Will I still get the 50?
Of course you do. See you later.
And that's just what I did with it, Pilgrim. Posted it off to myself. That tenant, then, she's no fool. But even she didn't think of that. I can see her now, walking in the door of Palmer's flat, and me with the diary in my hand.
What are you doing here, Hooper?
I could say the same to you. You better come in. Why didn't the caretaker come up with you?
He told me the telephone man would let me in. Where is he?
That's me.
What's that in your hand? You found my diary. Where was it, Hooper? It's mine. It's mine, actually. Let me have it.
Now, Mrs. Tennant. Weren't you taught not to snatch?
You've no right to be in this flat.
Have you? Not that I care a hoot. I've found what I came for. So I'll leave you to it. It's all yours.
You're going to give it to Jeff Pilgrim?
That's the general idea. Pilgrim or Benny Puller.
You know what it means, don't you? Harry Palmer will get 5 or 6 years, and I'll get... Well, I might get off, but I'd have to be lucky.
Listen, honey. What happens to you and Harry Palmer is one of the things I'm not even interested in. From where I sit, whatever happens to the pair of you, you've asked for.
You're a fool.
How do you make that out?
You could get anything. Well, that little Morocco book, you could ask almost anything and get it. Money, Hooper. Real money.
Who from?
Harry Palmer, of course. Thousands.
Where would Palmer be getting that kind of money?
From Tressida Bendigo and Company, of course.
Just reach into the till and help himself, maybe?
Oh, I said you were a fool, and so you are. Marcy is going to marry a man. And as soon as he's out of hospital, she's going to ease old Percy Fleming out and put Palmer in as general manager. He'll be able to do just what he likes, don't you understand? And to keep himself in the clear, he'd let you name your own figure.
I wonder. Why do I listen to you, Mrs. Tennant?
Because you're interested. How much is Puller paying you to burgle his flat?
50 of the best. Not that it's any of your business.
50 miserable pounds? £5 you'd hand over something you could get 5,000 for. And you think you're smart.
Suppose I hung on to this little red book for a day or two. How do I know you wouldn't go straight to Fuller yourself and say, Hooper has the diary?
Would I cut my own throat?
I wouldn't like to predict anything you'd do.
All I want is to see the rotten thing burn. I could cut my hand off forever keeping it in the first place.
I bet you could, too.
You can stand there and laugh. Hooper, keep it. Don't let them have it. I'm pleading with you to make money yourself. And help me, too. Will you?
Mrs. Tennant, you tempt me.
No malevolence you found it but me. Hooper, please, I'm desperate. What do Puller and Jeff Pilgrim mean to you? Please, Hooper, do as I say.
If I thought I could get away with it,
You can. You'd be mad to give them that book. You'd be insane to throw away an opportunity like this. Will you keep it?
I'll think about it.
What do you want, Hooper? Don't tell me you've come to the hospital to ask after my health.
Why not? You had a nasty smash. Smoke?
Thanks.
You know, I told you and your partner, Mrs. Tennant, we'd catch up with you one day. Well, we have.
I'm still in plaster, Hooper, but that doesn't mean I scare any easier. What are you talking about?
I had an interesting half hour in your flat this morning. Mrs. Tennant walked in, too.
You mean you were in my flat alone?
Mm-hmm. I was paid to be. I found it, Palmer.
I don't believe you.
It's bound in red Morocco leather with an A embossed in the top right-hand corner in gold. It had a good hiding place. It only showed up by luck.
What are you going to do?
That depends on you, old son. I was supposed to hand it over, you know, to Pilgrim or Benny Puller. But I thought we might be able to make a deal.
What sort of a deal?
What sort would you think?
Blackmail, eh? First Millie Moffat, then Angela Tennant, and now you.
Don't tell me you're going to cry. What are your prospects with Jeff Pilgrim's wife?
What's that to... We're being married as soon as possible.
That's better. What about Tressida Bendigo and company?
I'm taking over as soon as I get back on my feet.
Okay. I'll be patient for a week or two. As far as I can make out, once you get this diary back, you're in the clear. A tenant woman would like to hang you on a hook, but she can't till she sees her journal go up in smoke. From now on, it's up to you. And me. Right?
It looks like it. Oh, for Pete's sake, aren't there anything but blackmailers in the world?
You sound hurt. I'm not blackmailing you, Palmer. I'm just offering to sell you something you should be glad to buy. Only get this into your scone. No funny business. This time you're through if you make a mistake. So think it over. Well?
Jeff, something simply must be done.
I couldn't agree with you more, Miss Bendigo. But what?
Marcia has already been to Percy Fleming and told him she's putting Palmer in charge. And the more I think of it, the less I like it. We're well off, Jeff. Tressida Bendigo and Company is a wealthy firm. Why, if Palmer were to put his mind to it, he could ruin us.
Well, I'm not going to argue with Marcia any more. I'm not going to approach her on the subject again, not after the scene at the hospital.
I do wish you would.
No. I've been over and over the ground with Marcia about Harry Palmer. Only to be told each time that I'm a crook trying to blame the man, to get back in her good books and save my own face.
But my dear boy, you know what's at the bottom of it, don't you?
She wants to marry Palmer, obviously.
It's my belief if you dropped the Bronson girl, you could get Marcia back.
I don't want her back. Not like this.
Oh, how I wish you could persuade Marcia to throw Palmer out. Even if there were no reconciliation, you could come back to the firm and take charge. Jeff, we both need someone we can rely on.
I don't want to be rude, Miss Bendigo, but this is a fine time to decide you can rely on me.
Oh, you've plenty of reason to be hard. I admit it's been a terrible business.
Why have you come round to this way of thinking? Why was I the villain until just recently? Where you're concerned, I mean.
I thought I'd explained it all to you, Jeff. The night Tressida died, all my doubts and fears crystallized.
Are you sure you've no doubts left now? None whatever?
None whatever.
So that only leaves Marcia. Well, I'm sorry, but my mind's made up. I'm doing well with Puller. Much better than I did with Bendigo's. And frankly, I don't much feel like lifting a finger.
Please, Jeff, don't be too impatient with me. I know you must find it hard to forgive us, but please do talk to Marcia just once more before it's too late.
No. Oh, hang it, Miss Bendigo. It goes so much against the grain.
But if there's any chance of undoing all the harm, won't you? For me?
Do you think she'd listen?
Take her out in your car one evening and make her listen.
Very well, then. But if she persists in sticking to Palmer this time, I'm finished with her for good. What is she now?
Hate to have to tell you, Jeff, but she's at the hospital with Harry Palmer.
She would be. I'll talk to her just once more. And if she doesn't come to her senses, I want a divorce at once. I'll get evidence for her somehow.
Do you want to marry Stella Bronson, Jeff?
When I think of Marcia with that other rotter, yes, I do.
Aren't you fond of Stella? Why does it worry you to think of Marcia with Harry Palmer? You're still in love with her, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Come on, own up. You don't have to hide anything from me. You think of Marcia morning, noon, and night, don't you?
Yes, Miss Bendigo, I do.
Satisfied that Marcy has only blinded herself to the truth of this dreadful affair because of Jeff and the Bronson girl. I know I thought the same as everyone else till recently, so why shouldn't Marcia? Only there was some way of getting Stella off the scene. Then Marcia might listen to reason. Would it do any good if I saw Benny Fuller, I wonder? He might help.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.